Well, in preparation for Resurrection Sunday, we have spent the past couple of weeks beginning our study of the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. And, you know, we've looked at the word of forgiveness. The very first words out of his mouth were a prayer for forgiveness. And then we looked at the word of grace last week. We saw that he treated the thief on the cross who deserved to be there with love, with the love of God, and he promised him salvation. He promised him redemption. We saw how that thief confessed Jesus Christ. We saw the change of heart that took place. And in all these sayings that we read about, we tend to focus on the fact of what Jesus did as God and what the great salvation that he brought was. Well, we need to remember that when he was hanging on that cross, Jesus was not only fully God, but he was fully man. And the saying that we're going to look at today is the word of affection, and it deals with the words that he had for his mother, for his earthly mother. Next week, we're going to look at the words of anguish again that he expressed when he was separated from God the Father for the first time in eternity. But I want you to put yourself in his place just for a second and think, you're dying. Your mother is standing at the foot of the cross. Your mother is standing there watching as people have spit on you, as people have put a crown of thorns on your head, as people have beaten you. She's followed you up this hill to the place of the skull. She's watched you sit on that cross, try to breathe, try to speak. She's seen the love that you have. But that's still her little baby boy. You know, we talked about some of our family this week surviving an automobile wreck that could have hurt them. I want you to put yourself in her place. She's looking at him. And I want you to understand that Jesus was God, but he was also man. And what we're going to look at today is the provision that he made for his mother. In the very hour of his death, Jesus is making provision for someone that he loved. And that needs to show us how much he's going to make provision for us. So stand, if you will, and turn to John chapter 19. We're going to read verses 25 and 27. The guards are mocking. The guards are casting lots for his clothes. He's been beaten. He's bloody. And beginning in verse 25, John writes, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home." You can be seated. So I want you to think back to the first time that we see Mary and Joseph really interacting with Jesus after he was born. They take him to the temple when he's 8 days old. And there's this old man there named Simeon, and Simeon gives them a blessing. Right? Simeon has said, "Lord, don't let me die until I see the Messiah." And here comes Mary and Joseph. Here comes baby Jesus. And Simeon sees the baby, he hugs the baby, he expresses a blessing on the baby, and he says, "God, now I can die a content man because I have seen your deliverance." Simeon knew what was going on with Jesus. Simeon knew he was going to be the Messiah. Simeon knew he was going to be the one who would deliver Israel and us from the penalty of our sins. But he had a message specifically for Mary that day too. Back in Luke 2, Simeon had blessed him and he said to Mary, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that will be spoken against." People are going to hate him. And then he said, "Yes, a sword will pierce through your own heart also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So Simeon told Mary, "He's going to pierce your heart. There's going to be a sword that comes through your heart because of this child." We see that day come to pass when she's standing at the bottom of the cross. She's standing there and that sword pierces her soul. But we see Jesus too, right? We see Jesus dying, getting ready to make a transaction that benefits all mankind for all eternity, that benefited you and me. He's getting ready to pay the sin debt of every single person who ever lived, who will accept Him and believe in Him. God is getting ready, as we're going to see next week, to put all the sin of all mankind for all eternity on Jesus. Jesus is ready for it. But He looks down there and He sees His mother. And He's human. He sees this disciple, John. That's what he called John, or what John called himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And He said, "Woman, behold your son." He's not saying, "Look at me on the cross." He's saying, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." You see, Joseph was dead by this time, so Mary is a widow. Jesus' brothers did not believe in Him. They did not believe He was the Messiah. They weren't Christian, as we would say. So Jesus was not going to leave His mother in the care of someone who did not follow the Lord. He was going to make sure that she was cared for. He was going to make sure that the woman that He loved on earth, His mother, the woman that had raised Him, was taken care of. So don't forget that. This is the human part of what Jesus is saying. Imagine what's going on in His mind. Imagine what's going on in her mind. And I want you to see 3 points. And these are pretty basic points, but we need never to forget them. Number one, because Jesus thought it was so important that He provide for His mother. He selflessly cared for those that He loved. That's the first point. So in the middle of His own excruciating pain and everything that He's going through, He sets this up where mother is taken care of. Pretty simple thing, right? But the way the Bible translates, if you go back to the original Greek, it's very matter of fact. John, she's going to be your mother. You're going to be her son. Handle it. It's what He told John. That's exactly the tone that it was intended to be. So He's giving John this great honor, this great responsibility by providing for her. And some people say, well, why didn't He call her mother? Why did He say woman? Right? Sounds kind of cold. No, this is reflecting what's going on. Jesus was Mary's son, right? Probably called her mother growing up. But at this very moment, He has ceased to be the Son. What's the most important thing that's going on right now? He is dying as Mary's Savior. Mary needed a Savior too, just like us. He is dying as Mary's Savior. She's at the foot of the cross, and the words of comfort that she's going to get are because of what He's doing on the cross. If you go back, Mary knew from the very beginning that He would save His people from their sin. You remember? That's what the angel said. You will name Him Jesus and He will save His people from their sin. She knew. Remember, the Bible tells us that she was devout. 12 or 13 years old, she knew her scripture. She knew what was going to happen to the Messiah. Simeon told her when he was 8 days old what was going to happen to him. Simeon told her what was going to happen to her heart. And she'd been waiting for that day, probably dreading that day, don't you think? For 33 years. That day had come finally. But she knew that when her son died on that cross and was raised that third day, she was going to see him again. Physically, right? And spiritually. She knew that she was going to spend eternity with him because he died to forgive her of her sins. But he wasn't going to ignore the practical reality that, hey, I'm the oldest son. I'm supposed to be the one who provides for my mother, and I'm going away. So I'm going to provide for those that I love, just like he provides for us. Remember, what did he tell us? We looked at this a few weeks ago. It's actually better for you that I go away, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And we're sitting there going, no, don't go away, right? But he says, it's better for you if I go away. He provided a way for us because he loves us. So what did he provide a way for us to do? Not just live here physically, comfortably on the earth. He provided a way for us to spend eternity with him also. At the close of this message, I'm going to ask you if you've accepted Jesus Christ. God provided him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the condition. That's the provision for those people he loved. Did he love you? Yes, he did. How much did he love you? If there was one person sitting in this congregation today, he loved that one person enough to hang on that cross for that one person. For each and every one of us, he loved enough to die so that we did not have to die that way. So when you look at this thing, and some people kind of ignore this saying, when he dealt with his mother, we don't need to ignore it. It shows how human he was. It shows how much God he was, though, because the only person who could provide for her true need was Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the one who could forgive sins. So we need never to forget that. He provides for the needs of those that he loves. But there's another practical point in here, too. Number two is, he reminded us that we are to honor our parents. And he set an example for us, even in his most difficult time, his most stressful time, he set an example for us to honor our parents. And you know, when we think about honor, what do we normally think about? We normally think obey, right? Well, he was well past the age where he had to obey his mother, right? He's 33 years old, but he still honored his mother. This concept of honor, if you go back to the actual commandments, it says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This concept of honor is not simply obey, it is obey. Okay, kids, obey your parents. But it's honor. It's so much more. It's to esteem them. It is to respect them. It is to love and have affection for them. It is to provide for them. That's what the word honor means. It's not simply follow the rules. Growing up, I wish it would that had been that easy. But no, it's more than simply following the rules. It's loving and providing for and caring for and being there for your parents. That's what honoring means. Well, what if it's difficult for me to do? Here's your picture and here's your example. What's more difficult than hanging on that cross and honoring your mother? I can't think of anything. So he tells us, you know, I'm providing for you. I want you to honor your mother and father. And then he's also telling us a third thing. And this one is one that gets people in trouble sometimes. Number three, he's telling us that our spiritual pursuits should not neglect our responsibilities of family. You know, he didn't sit up there and say, when she stood at the cross, woman, I got business, you know, I got stuff to do. I'm here to just pay your sin debt. I'm not worried about what happens. You'll make it. He didn't say that. That, number one, that wouldn't have been honoring his parents at all. But that's not what he said at all. He provided for her. Even when he was dying, he took that responsibility to provide for her future needs. And I want to leave you with a scripture, 1 Timothy 5:8. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." It is our responsibility as Christian to provide for our house. It was his responsibility as a man, as a godly man, to provide for his mother. It's our responsibility to provide for our household. And that can be spiritually, it can be physically, it can be whatever. And we're not supposed to use spiritual things as a cop-out. You know, the Pharisees were famous for that. There was an incident in Matthew chapter 5 where Jesus was talking to the Pharisees one day, and he was pointing out that they were hypocrites, as he did quite a bit. Well, the Pharisees had this rule that all of their money, all of their possessions were dedicated to the Lord. Sounds good, right? Sounds really good. All of my possessions are dedicated to the Lord. Well, what happened when mom or dad came and said, "Son, I'm a little hard up this week. I need to buy some food." If I'm honoring my father and mother as the commandment says, what am I going to do? I'm going to pull out my wallet, whatever they used back then. I'm going to give them some money, take them down, buy food, right? What did the Pharisees do? They said, "You know, mom and dad, I love you. But anything that I might give to you is already dedicated to the Lord. So I can't give you anything because it's all His money." And Jesus said, "Y'all are a bunch of hypocrites." Didn't say y'all. You all are a bunch of hypocrites. He said, you're taking this rule and you're making it sound oh so good, but you're ignoring your responsibility to your parents. You're ignoring the responsibility to care for those in your own household. He said, don't do that. So that's the lesson for today. There's so much we can take out of this one saying. But these are the things I want you to see. He provides for His own. And if He's going to provide for His mother physically while He's hanging on that cross, I want you to think about this. What has He done to provide for you? He's honoring His parents while He's hanging on that cross. Pain, agony, grief. I would suggest to you that there have been times in our lives probably where we have not honored our parents under much less stress. He's an example. There is no reason we can't honor our parents. And there's no reason when we get busy with spiritual things, when we get busy with church things, that we cannot still meet our responsibilities of the family. He doesn't want us to use religion as an excuse like the Pharisees were doing. He wants us to have a relationship with Him that when we get that relationship right, all the other relationships in our lives are going to fall into place and they're going to be right. Husband and wife relationships will be right. Father-children relationships, mother-children relationships will be right. Brother-sisters even will be right when everybody gets that relationship with God right. So He showed affection as a man and He showed affection as God. He said, "I'm going to provide for you." And He did. So here's my challenge to you today as we close. I've told you the gospel today. Christ died for your sins and was buried. On the third day, He rose again, according to the Scriptures. God sent His only Son that while we were yet enemies, we could be reconciled to Him. He's given it to us. And if you're sitting here today and you think, "I don't believe that. I've never given my life to Christ. I don't even believe in God." I don't know if that's your heart today. But let me challenge you to do this. If this is true, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." If you would like that, here's a prayer you can pray. "God, I don't believe in You, but I want that if it's true. And I want You to show me if it's true." And He will do that. You got to remember, we're all stubborn. We're all stiff-necked. We're all rebellious. We're all wanting to do our own thing. And it takes admission that we need Him as a substitute, as we need Him as a Savior. It takes the admission that He is our Lord and Savior. And the only way we're going to do that is to really understand what He did. That's why we're going through these seven sayings. You will see everything that He did. And when you do that, you'll understand, I need Him. Your mind's still going to say, "No, I don't want to give in. I don't want to submit." I had all those thoughts too when I was younger. But if you will ask God, "Show me if this is true," and then open your heart, He'll do it. So that's my challenge. If you're sitting here today and you are a Christian, if you've made that confession, just keep the other two thoughts in mind. Remember to honor your parents. Remember to provide for them. Remember not to neglect the responsibilities of the family. It works whether you're 8 or 9 or 75, however old you may be, that doesn't go away. So we need to see Jesus' humanity today, and we need to understand that although he's God, he was doing the most human thing that he could do. What a good son, a good child should do, and that was to provide. Not only for his family, but for all of us who are now in his family. We're all God's children, and he provided for us too. So if you're here today and you've never confessed him as Lord and Savior, pray that prayer. See what happens. God will open your heart. He will move in your life, and he will show you that he is real. If you're sitting here today and you've accepted him, just be thankful. Be thankful that he's provided for you and made so much of provision that all you have to do is reach out and say, God, forgive me, and he's there. Every single time we fall, we just pray for forgiveness. God, forgive me. He reaches out and he grabs us immediately. You guys remember when Peter jumped out of the boat, starts walking on the water. He got watching the circumstances, watching the wind, lost a little faith there, and started to sink. Some of you, as lessons as parents, might have done this. Well, I'll let him sit in there for a little while till he gets really hard to breathe, or maybe where he's almost going to drown, then I'll reach down and get him. I see a couple of chuckles. I know. Tough love, right? Jesus reached down immediately, is the word, and grabbed Peter. Immediately. That's how he will change your life today. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you again for the opportunity to hear your word. Father, it's hard to imagine the scene that was going on all those years ago at the cross with Mary there and Jesus and John. But I thank you that you've given it to us. I thank you that you left him as an example in the way that we're to provide for our loved ones, that we're to love our mothers and fathers, that we're to honor our parents. And Father, I thank you most of all that he made provision for us as he was dying, knowing that he was getting ready to make the grand transaction to exchange the sin of all mankind for his sinless, perfect life. Father, I thank you that he stayed there. I thank you that he made that sacrifice willingly. And I thank you that you accepted it and raised him from the dead 3 days later. Father, as we approach Resurrection Sunday, I pray that you just sink ever so more into our hearts exactly what your son did that day, exactly the agony, the torment that he went through for us, the love that had to be in his heart to make him stay on that cross, the love that made you send him to us in the first place. And Father, I pray that anybody here who has not accepted that love and made it the basis of their life, just like Mary was going to make his word the basis of her life, that they do that today so that they can be eternally with you. And this we pray in his name. Amen. of that song. Oh, how he wants to come in. He doesn't force his way in. It's our choice. So I pray that if you were fighting that choice today, that you keep praying. Say, Lord, show me the truth. History is filled with so many people who didn't believe, and they set out to disprove the gospel. Some really famous people, Lee Strobel, for instance, now, you know, one of the great apologists of our day, set out to disprove the Bible because he didn't like what Christianity was doing to his wife. And you know what he did? He set out with an open mind. He said, I'm going to prove God doesn't exist. Well, that didn't work real well, did it? Thank goodness. Thank God, because he has been a person who goes around the world now giving evidence that God does exist. You can see it in your lives. You can see it in God working in your lives and the change in your heart, change in your loved one's heart. He does exist. So you need to accept him if you haven't. Come back tonight. We're on our death study. I know it's kind of opposite, life versus death, but it's talking about being with Jesus. And I think we had a good first lesson last week. Tonight we're actually going to talk about Jesus and his view on death. Can't get any better than that, right? So we're going to see exactly what Jesus thought about death. Tons of announcements. Remember to look at those. If you're interested in the Dollywood ticket raffle, see Penny. We've got a new Operation Christmas Child donation box back there. I know some people have put some more glasses in the little thing over on the table. Thank you guys for all that you do. You all are a very giving church, very outreaching church, and I do appreciate that. Remember, March 14th, 3 p.m., we'll be here at the church to do our Kinsman Redeemer outreach. And I'm sure I've lots of stuff I haven't covered. But anybody got anything else we need to talk about today? All right, then let's close. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for today. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you love us. That's all we can say. I don't understand why you do. I don't understand that at all, but I'm so grateful that you do. Thankful that you've provided a way for us to get back to you, to be reconciled to you, to be in heaven with you for all eternity, Father. Nothing else compares to that. I pray that we remember that through this week and that we share it with others. And I pray this in your Son's name. Amen.